Yeah. Welcome back to our show, The Lion's Den. I'm your host, Emmanuel Johnson. And today we're doing a part two of The Happenings of Life, featuring a young man who is willing to be bold, be brave, and to share his story here in the den. Our featured guest will be Giovanni Sandoval. I hope y'all ready. He's not the average young man. He's extraordinary. And we're going to have him get into his story right after this.
Hey, you're Clayton from Traffic and Tree Service, right?
My name is Emmanuel, and I was coming by because I saw you all over here doing some work, and I was just wondering, what all do y'all do?
Well, we offer tree consultations, tree trimming or pruning, tree removal, stump grinding. We take care of damage caused by storms, Holloway debris, and offer emergency services.
Sounds like y'all do a lot. Do you have any cards or flyers or something I can have to get a hold of you?
Sure. You can contact us through Facebook at Champion Tree KC, email at championtreekc@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at championtreeservice.com, or even if you like, you can give us a call at 816-739-1340.
I'm sure I have plenty of work for you all to do, and I'll be giving you a call soon. I'm gonna let you get back to work.
All right.
All right, welcome back from that brief commercial break. And now I would like to introduce to some, reintroduce to others, Giovanni Sandoval. Say what's up to the people, Giovanni.
Hello, how y'all doing out there?
Well, so today we're gonna get into different line of subject. As you all have heard already, we already did a part one to The Happenings of Life. And now I want to talk to Giovanni and get a different perspective from a young man's point of view. So, Giovanni.
Yes, sir.
Where would you like to start?
And I don't know, just wherever.
Hey, how about we start from the point of you've had a lot going on within the last year or so. We could start from the point of how you originally came, and then going forward from there.
Okay. Well, I guess it started about 7 years ago. We were in California, San Diego, California, National City, and that's when my mom met Pastor Ross, and you know, they got to talking, and then you know, they got connected, and so from there, you know, Pastor Ross let her know, and her sister, my aunt, say, hey, you know, we're going back to Kansas City, we're going back to Missouri, you know, like, goodbye. So my mom was like, okay, how can I be over there, you know, because my mom is a God-fearing woman, you know, and we knew the truth, but she just wanted to go in deeper and wanted to just follow after God, and so she said, no, I'm going with you. So it took a little bit. We left in April 17th, I believe, of 2015, and that's when we came over here. So throughout time and, you know, time and just patience, we were able to come and just be a help and a blessing to the kingdom. And that's just how we came, you know, to know God even deeper. And now,
man, that is awesome. As far as environment wise, what's the difference between Kansas City and California? Like, how do you feel experiencing life in California versus experiencing life in Kansas City?
Well, when we first came over here, I guess you could say we were all like just amazed at what was going on here. California, you have just reckless drivers and stuff, yes, but it's not like over here. Here you're just in the desert. There's, you get all seasons, you know. You're just, it's just a different style of life you have to live here. You wake up one day and have to move quickly with time. If not, then your time just gonna be wasted. California, you could just go a little slower, but you know, still kind of keep up with time. Yeah.
So, here is more fast-paced, you would say?
Yes, I would. Yes, sir.
Now that is completely opposite from how I would think of things being. I would think California would be more fast-paced. But then again, I guess not so much because everybody's probably at the beach.
Yes, about. Yes, sir.
So, going into like now with thinking about like how you saw your life being from when you were younger, and then you being in high school and working on planning out your life and how things are going and the challenges you face. Can you speak to some of that stuff and like how you had to readjust as things happen going through life?
Me, my mom, my sisters, it's a family of six, you can say. I'm the youngest, four sisters older than me, of course my mom. But I mean, life just out of nowhere came and just hit us. All sorts of, I don't know if you would call them or consider them distractions, sort of, but like they felt like big old barriers standing in our way when we tried coming over here, and even now sometimes. I believe it was about last year, if not 2 years ago, we were going through a rough period in our life, a rough time. We just have gotten a notice saying that we had to pack up our bags and move out of our house. So this was on the day that we were going to Junction City for, I believe it was, a conference. And they said we had to move out that week. So while we were thinking and, you know, praying, like, God, what do? We decided, you know what, we're just gonna head to Junction City and go from there. You know, hopefully some things change and we can stay just a little longer. So we went to Junction City, we came back home, and something did change. They gave us one more month to stay and just pack up so we could leave. So from there, we had nowhere to go. My mom was working two jobs. She was working for McDonald's and working for Apple Bus Company. From that, my mom has been a diligent woman. She was working two jobs, trying to keep up with five kids, you know. But I mean, it's just so hard for us because we've gone from place to place to place, even living with some other people in our church, wonderful people. We went from living in hotels, you know, about an hour away from the church, or even like 30 minutes from the church and stuff, living far away without a car that didn't work, just going and trying to depend on other people to pick us up and take us to church, to pick us up and take, you know, us to school, to for them to pick up my mom, take her to work. Just doing all that, you know, was just hard. It was just a rough year. You know, we were always questioning, like, why is this happening to us? Why are we going through this? You know, like, God, like, you know our hearts. Why are we, you know, what did we do? Like, is it, we doing anything wrong? And, you know, I mean, we were in hotels for about 6 months, if not probably a little less or more. But I mean, it's just, it was hard. It literally got so bad to where literally we would go in at like 9 p.m. We just got out of church. We'd go and they would try to fuss at us saying that we didn't have the money to go in. And they would finally let us in. But when we would get in, we would have to leave the next morning. So we would barely get any sleep. We would have to wait outside of the hotels and stay there until someone came to pick us up and take us. So sometimes we even, my mom even used her bus when she worked for the bus company to pick us up from the apartment, I mean from the hotels, excuse me, and take us to a different one, drop us off there, and then park her bus and then get up in the morning, take us somewhere else and go from there. And it was hard. Like I said, though, it was getting so bad to the point to where we had a car. We finally got a car. And we still didn't have a place. It's like everything that we had has just went downhill. We had a Trailblazer, Chevrolet, and I believe it was the tire that popped and the transmission that went out. It was on the highway. And my mom left it there, was gonna tow it the next morning or that night. And we left home because my cousin came to pick us up. And the next morning, my sister went to go and try to see if they could tow it. And when they went, the car had been broken into. All of our clothes and stuff that was in the car was stolen. We didn't have nowhere else to go, so, you know, we just had to wait and see, you know, what God did. So we stayed in a wonderful home that was lent to us by some brothers and sisters in the church. And it was just bad. I couldn't explain it. Us being so young, we really kind of didn't know what was going on. We just knew that we had to pack up, leave, stay at one spot for like 4 hours and then leave, you know. And then we would also have to like wash ourselves, you know, like in gas stations, a Quick Trip and stuff. That's how intense it got. And like it got to the point to where my mom just like wanted to just stop. And
That is a lot. And like, how old were you during that time?
I was 13, turning 14.
And so that's like real serious, heavy stuff. Having to live in essentially your car was your home.
Yes.
For a portion of that time. Until other situations worked out, whether you were either at the hotel or at some church member's house or family house or something like that. And,
Yeah, that's not easy situations to go through. But go ahead, what you think?
I mean, there's just a lot of cans. It's just, we just never questioned why. You know, like, yes, we kind of did be like, okay, God, you know, like, why are we going this? Like, never, like, why, God? Like, why are you putting us through this, you know? We always say, okay, why, God? Like, what is wrong? Do we need to change something? Do we need to fix the way we act? Fix, you know, certain things in our lives, you know?
Like a self-examination.
Yes.
Versus why, like, woe is me, or having a pity party for yourself.
Yes, sir. And, you know, like, blaming God for that, you know? Like,
right.
We never did that, you know? And throughout all this, you know, I just learned through all that time and year that to just be patient, to be kind of like open, you know, to anything that comes, you know, your way. Not to all things, but to some things. Never blame God for what happens, because it may just be a trial or a test, and God just might want to see if you're strong enough to pass it. And if you do pass it, then you'll get a greater reward than what you previously had. You know, you'll probably get like double the amount of money you were making. You'll get a brand new car, a house, and all sorts of stuff that you dreamed of, never thought you could have until you went to the test and God saw your faithfulness, like he saw in Abraham, when he told him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And when he was about to do it, God quickened him and saw how faithful he was.
And that he was willing to. Yeah. Sometimes you got to be willing to go through the harder trials and the hard times so that God can birth something in you and develop some things in you.
Yes, sir.
It's almost like, I remember a title to a sermon Pastor Ross preached called The Fashioning of a Man. And he talked about how that it's God who makes you and molds you into what he wants you to be, who fashions you. So being able to endure that process to where you come out as what he wants you to be versus coming out deformed or with defects or not the way God intended you to be. And you spoke about some of the things you learned, but I know it's in numerous things, like things you can't even count, so much that you could learn in different situations like that.
So,
with that being said, what was your mindset and how did you navigate through going through these trials versus getting out of them and being at the point you are today?
I suppose you could just, say it like simple terms, like just not thinking about it. But for me, it wasn't like that. We thought about it every second, every minute, every hour. The way I got through it, though, was through prayer, counseling with our man of God, talking to them, and just keeping our mind set on one thing that helped me, not only me, but my sisters and my mom get through it all, was that no matter how long this trial or situation is, there's always going to be a finish line. It always has to end. It can never last for longer than what it's supposed to.
Right.
If it does, then something's wrong. And we always had in the back of our minds saying, we're going to make it through. We're going to come out stronger and better than what we were and we're going to become the people that God wants us to be. And, you know, there's a sermon that Pastor Ross preached that was also in our minds. I don't remember the title of it. It was about a tongue thing. And it's about running a race. He said that while you're running, you see your opponents in front of you, and you see that they're using up all their speed and just taking off the first 50 meters, and they're just taking your pace. And he said that you're running and going, but throughout the race, you see them stop, trying to catch their breath, and while you're there taking your time, pacing yourself, you're passing every single fast person that was ahead of you, making fun of you, up, and now they're behind you, and you're in the lead, and then that's when you pass your baton to the other player or your teammate, and say, "All right, go, run the race. You're the finish. You're the finisher." And that's just what we had in our minds, and we're gonna finish this. We're gonna get through this without it damaging us anymore or hurting us.
Yes, sir. And you know, that just remind me of this scripture that it's part of my favorite. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And clearly, you didn't forget God. Y'all prayed. Y'all sought God. Y'all sought counseling. Y'all did whatever it was in y'all power to do to move forward and hold things together.
Yes, sir.
And the blessing in it, just like this verse says, is that it works out for your good. It's for your benefit. You come out better.
Yes, sir.
That's like, also it makes me think about the process of purification for gold. Mm-hmm. When they put gold into the fire, it has impurities in it. It's not complete. It's not the perfect standard that it could be. But as it's tested and tried and goes through that fire, it draws out those impurities and those other metals, and you're able to separate it to where then you end up with the purest form of gold possible. And that's how our life is. When we hold on to God and we focus, no matter what's coming our way, it's like keeping that mindset and pressing forward just helps us to be able to move on to the next spot and to be able to give God glory even in the time where the situation and the circumstance could have been dire. Like, nobody wants to live in a situation where you don't know how you're gonna have a roof over your head from day to day. But you at a young age, at the age of 13, living through this and then making it through it to where you are today, y'all have a place, y'all have a good running vehicle.
Yes, sir.
Like the offset of where you were compared to where you are now is completely different.
Yes, sir.
And because of the blessings that God allowed to happen, but also the reward for your faithfulness in it. Like, it's just a beautiful thing. If you had to tell anybody some specific key points to keep in mind for whatever they would go through in life, whether the situation was like yours or not, what would you tell them?
One thing is, the main thing of all, is keep God first. No matter, keep God first. You will achieve, come through, break through whatever it is you're going through. If it's like mine, if it was like mine, worse, you know, even just through a heartbreak or something, you know, that it's just keep God first. You know, it's just, God works in mysterious ways. everything happens for a purpose, for a reason. Another thing is to always be determined for not your goal in specific, but like have your mind set to be, okay, I'm going through this, I don't know why, but I'm gonna get through this. This has to end. It may not be when you want it, it may not be, you know, like a couple months down the road. It might even take years for it to completely finish, but you will finish it. You will get through whatever it is that you're going through.
Gotcha. All right. Last thing before we get out of here. Part of being a part of the Lion's Den show, there's a requirement. You ready to fulfill your requirement?
Sure. Yes, sir.
You got to give a roar. Come on, Gio. Got to give a roar.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You ready? On the count of three.
Hello.
One. Like, go.
Go.
Go. One, two, three. Oh, yeah. All right. So, with that being said, we're going to prepare to close this episode for today. And I just want you all to keep in mind the things that we discussed. It is important how you handle situations in life, and God is able to see you through each and every situation, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, no matter how tough you feel it is, no matter how stressful it becomes, prayer is the key. And then having your faith intact will take you to places you never dreamed of. You heard it from the young man today. You're hearing it from me. This is how we do it. With that being said, make sure you go ahead and practice your roar. Get in the mirror and get your roar on daily. Ha ha. Apostolic Revival Church is a new sponsor of the Lion's Den, where their motto is, "Don't watch us grow, come grow with us." The preaching and teaching is faith and biblically based. This is a place where you will feel the love of God and the heartbeat of the pastor and the saints in this church is no soul left behind. If you are ever in the area or in need of prayer, come join us at 8787 Old Santa Fe Road in Kansas City, Missouri, 64138. Or visit us online at arcofkc.com. Also, show your support for our mission and your love for our church by visiting our online store provided by the Lion's Den at my-store-c65725.creator-spring.com. That's my-store-c65725. 65725.creator-spring.com. There you will find
Apostolic Revival Grabbers, as well as Lions Den Greer. Roar with us and get yours today.